This is Cassandra.
And this is Brittany with the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca George, and I am so excited to be joined today by my friends Cassandra Speer and Brittany Mayer, founders of Her True Worth and co-authors of the new book, There's Beauty in Your Brokenness. This is such an important conversation that we get to have about finding our worth and our affirmation in Christ. And you're just going to be so encouraged by both of them as we have this conversation. So help me welcome my new friends, Brittany and Cass, to the show. Brittany, Cassandra, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us, Rebecca. We're so excited to be here.
This is going to be such a fun conversation. I'm so excited about the message of your new book. But before we jump into conversation, there are two of you on the call today and on the podcast. And so I want to give you both space to just introduce yourselves and also for listeners to get used to hearing your voices, so that throughout the conversation, they know who they're talking to. So, Brittany, you want to go first and then Cassandra?
Sure. Yeah. Hey, everybody. I'm Brittany. I love Jesus with all my heart. I live in Waterford, Michigan with my husband and our two-year-old daughter. My husband and I devote most of our time doing digital evangelism across the globe on social media specifically. We really see the need in today's day and age to bring the gospel in such a hard space, right? Little background of what I do. I used to work in the beauty and fitness industry about 10 years back. When I was in that industry, I just kind of came to a point where I felt very disheartened by the shallow messages of worth being upon our beauty, upon our body, and I fell into that very heavily. And I allowed it to kind of be the determining factor of my worth and my value as a woman. And just through my own journey of discovering my true value and my true worth in Christ, I began Her True Worth, an Instagram ministry, and we at Her True Worth were dedicated to helping women find their true worth and identity in Christ. We do that through bite-sized devotionals, different Instagram posts, and sometimes we do lives, we have books. We just really see the need to, like I said, bring the gospel to that space and help encourage women in their worth.
Love that.
Hi everyone, I'm Cassandra. You can call me Cass. I am a mother of three rowdy and wonderful tiny humans. I'm a proud Air Force veteran's wife. I am a Bible teacher, author, and vice president of Her True Worth. I am Brittany's co-leader and co-author, and my family is planted in Oklahoma City.
Awesome. Love that. Okay, I love letting everybody hear a little bit more about Her True Worth. So thank you for that, Brittany. I was going to ask you that as well. So I'm glad that you threw that in, because I have followed your ministry for years and have just seen you both walk down that path together for quite a while online. So it feels really fun to get to have you guys on and connect about this new message. And I'm so excited about it. I also love having conversations around what it truly looks like to see our worth through more of a gospel-centered lens than what we are seeing out in the world. And so I would love, you touched on it, Brittany, but let's start there. Will you walk us behind kind of the story of this message and that, what it means to see our worth through a gospel-centered lens?
So kind of the story behind just the fact that we put out content and we use this ministry to help encourage women in their worth. Like I said, Cass and I, it's funny, we both come from the beauty industry. And we both have our own stories to tell there, but it was really interesting kind of how God brought us together. And we didn't know that we both came from the beauty industry. So it was just kind of cool how coming together and being able to have this powerful message of worth together and just both struggling with it so much in our individual lives. And Cass has a really amazing story too. She comes from the hair industry. I'm like, what do you call that? Sorry about that. So kind of going into shifting into our latest book that we came out with called There's Beauty in Your Brokenness. We put out our first book, which was called Her True Worth. And the reason why we started writing Her True Worth was because we felt like the message of worth and identity was one that we needed to dive much deeper in, that we couldn't do as much on Instagram, right? We have the ability to show up and meet people where they're at with these little bite-sized devotionals, but it is such a complex topic to be able to see our worth through a Christ-centered lens. And what it means to see our worth through a Christ-centered lens is that we first have to acknowledge the true source of our worth. And it's until we grasp what Jesus did on the cross for us, being the ultimate measuring stick of our worth, then we will always be on the quest for more, right? Yeah. And so I found that in my personal life very much so. Like I said, coming from the beauty industry, feeling like I'm constantly striving and working for my worth and not from it. And that's something, that's a phrase that we use a lot, because when we're living our lives for our worth, for the praise, for the affirmation, like I said, we will always be on the quest for more.
Yeah.
And so essentially shifting our focus to see our worth from a Christ-centered lens would be through prayer, accepting that God's love for us is unchanging.
Yeah.
It doesn't waver depending on what we do or don't do, or what mistakes we make, or what accomplishments we make. And accomplishments we make, his love, the way he sees us, the way he values us, isn't dependent on those things. And then because of that, we can shift from doing for our worth to being. What I mean by that is, society often values us for what we do as women, whether that's our roles or our accomplishments, but God values us for who we are. And so we really want to empower women in this space to help shift their focus from doing to being, and living as a beloved child of God and being seen as worthy in his eyes through what his son did on the cross.
Psst. Did you know that my debut book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl, is available wherever you like to buy books? I wrote it just for you, friend. So if you are ready to see your gifts and talents from a gospel-centered perspective, prioritize goals related to your calling as you move forward with gumption and grace, maximize your passions in the work you do every day, actively partner with God to serve him and love others, and overcome negative thought patterns so you can brainstorm, develop, and create with the confidence of a go-getter girl. If that sounds like you, then I want you to order today at the link in the show notes below. Each chapter includes prayer prompts, scripture for further study, questions for reflection, action steps to move your goal forward, and accompanying videos for individual or small group discussion. So grab a friend or 12 and let's use God's word as our compass to do the thing. After all, if not now, when? One of my greatest joys is having the opportunity to come share God's word at women's events, retreats, and conferences. I'm booking speaking engagements for this year and next year, and would love to chat with you about your church's next event. Shoot me an email at hello@radicalradiance.live to start a conversation today. Yeah, that's beautiful. It's such an important shift in the way that we think, and it changes everything. Right. And there's several sort of terms as I was looking through the press kit and reading through some material about the book that really stuck out to me. And one of them was affirmation culture. And you talk about this in the book and just what it means to turn towards finding our affirmation in Christ. And this is, you know, similar in a way to what we just talked about of finding our worth in him. But what is affirmation culture, and how do we begin to make that shift towards finding our affirmation in him rather than the worldly narratives that we're seeing right now?
Affirmation addiction and affirmation culture is really important to understand the primary way that we know when we have an affirmation addiction or when we have a problem with affirmation culture is when acceptance is equivalent to living and rejection is equivalent to dying. So you live for the approval and the acceptance and the affirmation, the opinions of others. Your worth and value hinges upon their opinion, acceptance, approval. Whereas healthy affirmation is hinged upon and formed in God's word, his approval, his acceptance of what Christ has done on the cross. It's not so much something that you need to do or something that you need to earn, but rather something that has been done for you with Christ crucified, and something that is given to you freely, not by works, but by faith alone, so that none of us could boast. And so affirmation addiction is something that so many of us fall into, and our culture is just reaping with it. The internet, social media is really an affirmation addict's favorite place to get a hit. The dopamine and serotonin signals that we receive when we renew the feed, when we see people with the hearts that like our posts, that follow us, that comment and engage, all of those are forms of affirmation. Now, affirmation is not a negative thing, and inherently, affirmation is a God-designed thing. We are to look to be affirmed, to belong, to be accepted, but our acceptedness needs to come from Christ, and us finding affirmation needs to come from him, from God, our Father, first and foremost. But we have become addicted to external validation and approval, whereas it really needs to be from an eternal source, from God himself.
Yeah, that's so good. And as we think about finding our affirmation in him, I love that you also talk in the book about God's omniscience, that he knows all things. And so I think as we understand finding our affirmation in him on a deeper level, holding that tension of he knows all things, and we can allow him to heal the pain of our past that he knows all of, right? And so will you talk to us a little bit about how do we hold that in the midst of our brokenness? What does that look like as we remember that he's omniscient and that he knows all things?
You know, it makes it so when I read that question earlier, and as you were saying that question, I thought of 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and see that the new has come. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't see where we came from, because he knows. He knows our wounds, he knows our trauma, he knows our past, and he knows our pain. But that points us to the fact that he is also a healer. And we know that one of the names given to God in the Bible is what? Jehovah Rapha, meaning the Lord who heals. And he can not only heal physical afflictions, but also very deep emotional and spiritual wounds that we all have. He lovingly invites us to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And that's in 1 Peter. We also know that God's love is so unconditional, right? Unlike human love that shifts, it changes. And, you know, people give up on us. People close the door on us. And when we put our worth and our okayness in those relationships, we're never going to be on a solid foundation, right? And we know that God's love is not based on what we do or don't do. Like I said before, it's unconditional and it's unchanging. And there's nothing that we can do to make him love us more, and there's nothing that we can do to make him love us less. And I find so much personal freedom in that as a former people pleaser, because I now don't have to work for God's love. And he knows how I am. He knows my tendencies. And I get to find rest in knowing that I'm fully known and fully loved, but also that he has fully equipped me to do the work that he's put before me and fully equipped me to be able to heal from my past through the power of the cross, because Jesus did pay it all. When Jesus died on the cross, he took all our sins, all our mistakes, all our emotional wounds and pain, and he put it upon ourselves and paid the price so that we could have that fresh start, so we could be that new creation.
One of the things that you mentioned in passing was being a people pleaser, and I'm a recovering people pleaser as well. And I think for those of us who have this tension and have this struggle, it is really hard for us to ask for help. Mm-hmm. At least I find that to be true in my own life. And so as we are seeking to find our affirmation in Him, as we are remembering that He knows all things and we're living in the, you know, the light of that truth, how do we move forward as people pleasers and being willing to ask for help? What do you believe leads to that struggle, right? Like, how do we move past that tension?
That's a good question. You know, society so often places such a high value on self-reliance. And many of us have unfortunately learned that asking for help is a sign of weakness. I am one of those people. And I'm reminded through scripture and through pursuing an intimate relationship with the Lord that in His kingdom, it's really quite the opposite. He wants us to rely on Him and to come to Him with our needs. He invites us to. And asking for help isn't a sign of weakness. It's an act of humility and trust in the Lord. It's admitting and being able to put aside our pride and admit that we need the Lord's help. And to extend that to asking for help from people, I think it's really important to know who you're asking help from and making sure that it's from a trusted source, right? The, you know, scripture says that, what is the verse about, there's safety in the multitude of counsel, right? And it matters where we're seeking counsel. And we need to remember that first and foremost, when we're asking the Lord for help, we have to remind ourselves that He is a loving Father who wants to give good things to His children. And like I said, He invites us to bring our worries and cares to Him. And understanding that God wants to help us can often make it easier to ask for help.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good point. I love that so much. And one of the things that came to mind that I'm so thankful for is the fact that we are never too much, in air quotes, for God, right? Even if we might feel like we're too much for others at times in our need for approval and our recovering people pleasing. And so will you just encourage listeners who might feel like their brokenness is too much to bring to God today? Will you encourage them in that?
Absolutely. I am always reminded of Isaiah 64:6, that the truth is that in our own striving and our own strength, that our best is but filthy rags compared to God's righteousness. Mm. And that is something that should encourage all of us, is that our best attempts are not enough, and that's okay. And that we shouldn't be worried that we don't have to earn it and we can't lose it. You know, there's a lot of us that feel that we're too broken, that we're beyond repair, that we're a lost cause. And the truth of the matter is, they're not wrong. Without God, without Christ crucified, we cannot heal ourselves. But that should be good news, because that means that the best and worst moments of your life are not the determining factors of your value to Christ. And you cannot be disqualified. You are never too far gone. You are never too lost. You are never too broken. You are not beyond repair, that God can redeem and restore all of the ruins of your life. Everything can be made new, because in Christ we're a new creation. And all of the things that are happening throughout your life that make you feel disqualified don't compare to what God has done on the cross. And that is the determining factor of your value. So if you're worried that you're too broken, you're too lost, or you've wandered too far, just remember that God has never lost sight of you, no matter how lost you feel. That there's nothing that He cannot repair, no matter how broken you feel. And we cannot find our wholeness in Christ by avoiding our brokenness on this side of heaven. And it is in our brokenness that we're able to be healed. And that is how God's power is revealed.
Yeah, so powerful. And I'm thinking of my friends who are really leaning into the truth in this episode, and they can't see their next step in the future, and they're very maybe fearful of moving forward. And that's a part of walking with Jesus, right? There's a bigger plan that God is orchestrating that we can't always see, and that is sometimes really tough. And so I wonder, what helps you find peace in those moments when you're uncertain of the next step as you're moving forward?
For me personally, this is Cass speaking. I think that the thing that helps me the most is looking at the character and consistency of God throughout the Bible. And knowing that even when my circumstances change, that He alone remains the same. And even when I am walking through uncertainty, that He leads me through troubled waters, that the waves will not overcome me. That when droughts come, that God is my refuge and my strength. And so when I'm walking into uncertainty, which quite honestly, there's a transition in my life right now that I'm having to lead wholly on, rely wholly on His sovereignty and on His ability to provide, because I alone couldn't do it on my own. And so I think that for anybody who is uncertain of what your next step should be, and you're worried or you're weary or you're waiting, I just want to encourage you to lean on Him and look at His unchanging character throughout the Bible. And sometimes I will look back in remembrance of Ebenezer Stones, moments in my life of God's sovereignty and His faithfulness and His goodness, and remember the fruit, count the fruit of His goodness in my life in the past, and trust Him with the present. That has been really a game changer for me, is looking back at what He's done and believing Him for what He's yet to do, because we can't see tomorrow, but He's already there. But we can look back at yesterday and remember His faithfulness.
So good. Yeah. It makes me think of, I have this analogy that I like to use. You know, when you go to a parade, you see events as they come while you're standing there watching it. And God, His view of time is not the same as ours, where we see events as they come. He does not view time linear like we do. He sees the whole parade as a whole. And I remind myself of that when I'm like in the thick of difficult circumstances and things don't go as I plan. I just remember that He is our sovereign Lord, and He sees the beginning, middle, and end simultaneously.
Yeah.
And I love what Cass said, like recalling His faithfulness in the past. It makes me think of Psalm 9:1. I was just reading this morning. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, and I will recount all of Your wonderful deeds. And just being able to trace His hand and seeing all of His faithfulness that led us to this point really helps us trust Him in the next step, in the future, and even in the thick, right? In the midst of now and in the midst of the future, that we're able to trust that His hand is also there too.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that is just coming to mind as I hear both of you unpack that is His immutability, the fact that He doesn't change. And when we look back at our past circumstances and God's faithfulness in them, and we lay that against the fact that He's immutable, that He doesn't change, and we consider that against every other characteristic that we know to be true about Him, in part, this side of heaven. But when we consider all of that, that gives my heart so much peace as I walk into uncertainty. And so I love thinking and pairing those two things together, remembering His past faithfulness and also just knowing in our hearts that He doesn't change. And so those are two things that we can cling to when our hearts are uncertain of the next step. I love that so much. Okay, before we go, there is a question that I ask all of the guests that come on Radical Radiance, and it has to do with this passage of scripture that God put on my heart as I was naming the show, and it's from Psalm 34. It's verse 5. It says, "Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces are never covered in shame." And so the question I love asking is, and you can both answer, is what about Jesus makes you radiant?
I love this question, and I love that psalm, by the way. That's like one of my favorite psalms.
Me too.
And when I read the question that you had emailed us, and as I'm hearing you say it, it makes me think of John 3:30 for me personally in my walk, that he must increase, but I must decrease. And as I'm like pondering this, I came to a place where I realized, you know, his radiance shines through brightest through me when I lay myself down and pick up my cross, when I get out of my own way, when I'm willing to put my flesh aside and exalt him above everything. I believe that his radiance is magnified through my life, through my actions, and through my love all the more, because it's not about me. And for me, I believe that when I do that, I am walking in the most divine purpose that he's given me, and being able to put myself aside and put on the cross and put on the new mindset of Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's so good, Brett. I instantly think of the fact that Psalms 147:3, that God is near to the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
And something that I feel like God has consistently throughout my life radiated his love and his kindness and his tenderness towards us is being able to bear burdens with others and come alongside them in their pain, and not, you know, because God doesn't, he doesn't turn away from us when we're in the ugly and the hard and the heartache. And I feel like God has really uniquely equipped me and shown his love through me by being able to witness people in their heartache and point them to the hope we have in him. And so that is how I feel like God's able to radiate Christ through me and within me, is being able to witness the pain and the hurt and carry that while also pointing to the hope and the healing that we have in him.
Oh yeah, that's so good.
That hit deep.
So good. Well, I have loved chatting with both of you, and I'm so excited about this new book. I want to give you a chance to just share with everybody, where can they connect with you? Where can they grab the book after this conversation?
Yeah. So if you're interested in grabbing our book, so it's called There's Beauty in Your Brokenness, 90 Devotions to Surrender Striving, Live Unburdened, and Find Your Worth in Christ, you can head over to hertrueworth.com/beauty. If you're interested in following along with our ministry on Instagram, we're on Her True Worth on Instagram. That's our handles, Her True Worth, and then also on Facebook. And we also have a Threads account, which is a new thing that Instagram just won't know. It's fun. It's fun over there. So we're on there as well. And then my personal handle, this is Britt, is just Britt Mayer. And then Cass, if you want to introduce your stuff too.
My personal handle is Cassandra L. Spear. Spear spelled S-P-E-E-R. Not like Britney Spears.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, I just adore you both, and I'm so excited for this message to go out into the world, and I can't wait for our listeners to get their hands on it. I think it's so in line with what we talk about around here, and I know it will just be such an encouragement to your readers. And so thank you for writing this really important book, and I'm so excited for everybody to get their hands on it. So thank you again for being my guest today.
Thanks, Rebecca, for having us. It was so fun.
Thanks, Rebecca.
I hope you were just as encouraged as I was by Brittany and Cass as they told us all about their newest book, There's Beauty in Your Brokenness. Go grab it wherever you like to buy books. And if this conversation was particularly encouraging to you, would you hit the share button and share it with a friend? And then go grab coffee with them and have conversation around what you guys got out of the episode, how God encouraged you through it. If you don't already subscribe to my email list, we send an email out every Tuesday where we recap the episode for you and then just offer discussion questions for you as you discuss the episode with a friend. So make sure you go subscribe to that today by going to radicalradiance.live. Sign up for any of my free resources there, and that will get you plugged into the email list. I'll be back with you next week for another amazing episode. I'll talk to you then.